I think the kickoff itself, not the, from a return standpoint, the kickoff itself would have a tick more injuries from just the space between the collisions, if that makes sense. I don't think it would be much different from a returner standpoint, but I think from just the distance, I think the punt, you're engaged and, you know, kind of the contact is happening immediately, and then it's, that would be my guess.
Sean, when you have a player as special as he is, do you have to guard at all against using him too much?
Yeah, I think, look, I think part of the thing is having that balance. You know, the same thing exists with a handful of guys. You know, how many snaps has Mike Thomas taken? If you're not careful, he will go out on that zebra system, and we'll come in and look at, you know, he traveled 8.5 miles today, and every other receiver traveled 5.9. You know, so their workload we measure and we look closely at, and it would apply with him. Just, you know, I think that balance of Mark and he works. And sometimes we've had a few games of late where our snap totals were down, and then it's not as big of an issue, but you're playing one of those 70 snap games that you got to be careful.
Sean, when the first time you saw him, what stood out most?
His intelligence. We had a workout at Tennessee. You know, our group went there and we had a private workout with about, they had, you know, a good group of players, 8 or 9. We had dinner with them the night before, and they were all, I think, great guys to be around. Then the next day, you know, we have linebackers meeting with the linebacker. Pete Carmichael's meeting with the quarterbacks, and we're meeting with this group of players, just the Saints, and he was watching film with the quarterback, Dobbs, and now the quarterback is a rocket science graduate, and we say sometimes it's not rocket science. For him, it is, and so he's real smart, and Alvin, quickly in that film room, you could tell, was on top of, you know, all the elements to the game, and then out on the field as we went through a few different routes and defensive looks, I mean, he picked it up very quickly. I'd say it's a, aside from his physical ability, it's a gift.
Could you tell right away that he's almost like a perfect person for your system?
Well, I would be honest with you and say the vision right away was, you know, that joker third down, that player that you can put in space and move around. There wasn't as much evidence of his running ability inside and outside because he was splitting carries at Tennessee. And then I think, you know, the transition here when you come in and you have a guy like Adrian Peterson, I think for Mark even, I mean, that was a great room. And I really think for young players when they enter the league, if they enter behind someone special, I think it can help their careers. And sometimes when they enter behind someone that isn't, it can, you know, set them back. And I think that there was a lot of competition and respect with that group. You know, Adrian works extremely hard in the offseason. Mark's in there. Alvin's in there. I mean, that, and I think when you have that in any industry, you perform at your best, and I think that was important, and you know, you began to see his confidence grow with some success in the preseason and carried over.
Sean, it sounds like you're going to have a substantial alumni presence, sort of that genesis behind
it. I just think guys come back. I mean, we've had guys at a handful of these games, depending, you know, and obviously when you're playing a playoff game, those guys look forward to getting back, and I haven't seen how many guys, you know, but they're all, I like that they're coming back. I like that, you know, I can remember once going to a Miami University pro day, and I always loved seeing, you know, it'd be 30, 35 former Miami University, former Hurricane players, maybe some in the NFL, but they were all so interested in their team and how those other players were doing, and I just found that to be encouraging. And I think part of building a program is embracing those guys that were here prior, and I love it when they come back. So I'm sure, although our schedule will be busy, I know that those guys will enjoy seeing each other.
And about a year ago, almost at exactly this time, I know you had to make a tough decision with some of your coaching staff decisions. How do you think they ended up playing out?
I'm not, listen, I look more at, you know, what we're doing here. And it's always, you know, at this time of the year, you make changes. It happens with personnel. It happens in the front office. It happens in coaching. It happens with players. I think it's always a challenging time of the season, you know. And I think, you know, a lot of good football coaches, you know, this past Monday released. And, you know, you stay here long enough, and someday when I put my finger on that little print that opens the door, it won't say open. You know, it just won't do anything. And I'll do it again and again and then. So.
What do you like specifically, though, about what Mike Nolan and Ryan Nielsen have brought to the defense? I know some players said it seems like they've been a lot more technical, too, maybe.
Like Ryan, for instance, comes from North Carolina State, you know, and he's done a good job with the young defensive front, you know, the pass rush. I think he's demanding. He's done a real good job. Mike is entirely on the other end of the spectrum, someone who's got veteran NFL experience. He's been a head coach. I grew up as a young kid in San Francisco, and I loved the 49ers back when his dad was the head coach, and we talk about that. But Mike, you know, I think it's the collection, and I think that staff has to be, if you expect your locker room to be close, that staff better be close.
Some of the guys have said that on the defensive line, you guys do more pass rush periods now. How do you see that kind of helping out or changing things?
I think we're in a passing league, you know, and so, you know, obviously stopping the run's important, but, you know, the quarterback who's under more duress is the one that makes more mistakes, and regardless of the talent level. And so I think that, you know, you're trying to create that pressure with movement. You're trying to create that pressure on the quarterback with blitzes. You're trying to create it. You know, there's a lot of different ways. And I think that's the benefit of playing at home with the crowd noise. I mean, it becomes more challenging, communication and get off. And so generally that, you know, that quarterback that has to throw it in two Mississippi, like we used to say when we were little, instead of four Mississippi, you know, it's harder to make your decisions when that clock in your head's quicker.
Sean, how much did you feel like after three straight 7-9 seasons that you personally needed a year like this one?
Well, I mean, I felt after the first 7-9 season, I personally needed a year like this one, honestly. And so I think you regroup, you know, there's that competitive nature in you. And I think that the draft we had was significant. Obviously, with the amount of playing time we have from this class, I think it was extremely important. And, you know, there's all these things that go on with the postseason, but to be involved in it is exciting. And, you know, a lot of these guys, shoot, they've been in big games, but a lot of them, you know, this is a young team, you know. Today was Millennial Friday. We had, you know, had the music going. Guys did a good job. I like the energy. I like the focus this week.
Shaq, going back to your days as an assistant, what do you remember about your first playoff game, and how different is it?
Man, my first playoff game, I was the coordinator in New York. It's entirely different. We played the divisional round. We beat the Philadelphia Eagles. We had played them twice in the regular season and beat them twice, and then Jason Sehorn had a big play for an interception. We won that game, and then we played host in the championship game. We were the one seed. We played the Minnesota Vikings. It was Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss, Chris Carter, you know, real explosive team that had just beaten the Saints by a lot. Fortunately, the field was frozen there. It was cold, and, you know, a lot of things went right in that game, and we won 41-0. Now, unfortunately, we're looking at the TV and watching the Ravens beat the Raiders, and all of a sudden the excitement and joy of winning the NFC Championship quickly shifted to a Super Bowl. And so, but it would have been that stretch. That was, yeah, my first year as a coordinator there in 2000. It's exciting, you know. It's what you enjoy, you know, the butterflies, all the things that go with it. And it's what you do it all for. It's what you lift weights for. It's what you, all the things that happen in the off season, everything, the process, the people cooking, the administration, everyone's working for, you know, this objective. So I think it's exciting for the organization.
your other playoff teams are all kind of that same Super Bowl core. Does it feel like with so many young guys, you have a new core?
Well, 06 was different. 06 wasn't a Super Bowl team. So, I mean, 06 was a – we were a two seed with 10 wins, which is unusual. We sat starters in the last game. So, it was a tough team. It was an important year. 9 was Super Bowl team, a lot of guys from 06, but a lot of new pieces. 10 was a wild card team up in Seattle. 11 might have been our best team. And I think that there's, I lose track, but there's turnover in those years. There's guys that were a part of all of them, and there's many, you know, that were just a part of one or two, you know, two of them those postseasons. 13 was new. You know, we won the divisional round on the road and then played up in Seattle, or won the wild card on the road. And then, so each team's different. And you remember the games, though, like they were yesterday.
Can you talk a little bit more about the energy and the focus that you feel this team has practiced with this week?
I think it's been spot on. I mean, I think everyone understands, no different than Carolina, I'm sure. You know, you're in a single elimination tournament, and there's been a lot of work to get here. Part of it is, you know, caring so much you don't want to let your teammates down. And I think that's important. You know, that understanding that, hey, I care about you enough to where I'm going to do my job. You know, and when you get a team that's playing together, then you have something.
How about the matchup just in terms of there's a couple of players, huge impact players that did not play in these matchups earlier in the year on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, I said this, our season early in the year, you know, your roster's at 53, your practice squad's at 10, and then as you just travel through the season, it evolves. And so, holy cow, from week 3, our first game, there are a lot of different players that were and were not on the field. And then the next game, can't even tell you when that one was, but a lot of different, and then same thing will apply in this one. And I think that's the nature a little bit of, you know, the 16-week season and the attrition sometimes.
Just based on how Olsen's able to open
Who?
Up, how Greg Olsen's able to open up the offense, does it put more on your ancillary players?
I think it's an important target, but I think, man, equally as important is his ability to block. And But when you have someone like that, that's an important part of your offense. And it's important for the quarterback. You know, the confidence that they have, the timing they have.
Coach, first team all post-election for Cam Jordan, first in his career. How long overdue was that recognition?
When did that come out?
Today.
Yeah, you guys know before me. I think, look, he's had a great year. I'm happy and proud of him. And, you know, generally, when it comes to the Pro Bowl, oftentimes a player gets in a year late, right? And then there's someone on the back end that gets that bonus year. And I always say, hey, you know, your 8th, 9th, 10th, whatever, that'll be the year that you shouldn't get in some other young guy, you know. And so that's the way it works. But I'm happy for him, and it's well-deserved.
Millennial Friday, is that a term you've used before?
Today it was.
Sean, can you talk today overall about just the challenge of facing this Panthers team for a third time, and overall what challenges this team is posing to you guys?
Each game's different. You know, I think it's a real good front. It's a real, real good defensive front. They communicate well. The back end, their defensive numbers are fantastic. They played well in the last 6 weeks. Offensively, they've done a real good job. You can see their, when you just look at the midpoint of the season when they got on a roll, you can see that the confidence grow with that team. And you're also talking about a team that, you know, a year and a half ago was in a Super Bowl, so that you know, all of that, you know, the prior two games don't matter, it's this one. And and I think both teams will understand that.
Sean, when you bring up the defensive line, do you marvel at how effective Pep can be still at his age?
It's unbelievable. We were talking about him back. John Fox and I were together in New York, and I believe it was one of John's first picks. There was much discussion between Joey Harrington and Julius Peppers, and I just know there was a lot of pressure from some people in our industry to, you know, take the quarterback, and I think John and Marty Herney and the, you know, they made the selection, and obviously it was a But at his age, and what he's done, and we're watching tape last night, Red Zone. He's had a great career and still playing at a high level.
With how Teron's able to affect the offense, from a statistical standpoint, it's pretty eye-popping, especially in the running game. How much does he mean to this offensive line, getting healthy?
Look, I feel like the last two times we played Carolina, it's been Pete at left tackle, Senio at left guard. We're fortunate enough to have some flexibility selecting Ramczyk when we did, and that trade ended up being a huge plus for us. You know, when you lose Streep and then you lose Teron, there's been a lot of fluctuation with the O-line, and I credit those guys for, handling it that week. And so we'll see how this game goes and presents itself, but we'll have a plan. I think Teron's a great competitor. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.